Today's daf is Kaf Chet. We're going to start right at the very top. But before we start, I want to make a reference to the chart I put up on the daf yesterday. I didn't have enough time yesterday to really explain it well. But if you look at the chart, first of all, there's a mistake. I'll try to correct it and put up a corrected one. But at the very top in number two, it should be Achot and not Ach. It should be a brother. Anyway, the chart's numbered, so we'll refer to the numbers when we talk about relationships today. And what we have in the chart, you can see where the squares are bolded. Those are the nine key relatives, okay? In our chart, Yaakov is at the center. And the nine key relatives that we discussed in the Mishnah that are related to him are all bolded. Like, for example, Yishmael, who's his uncle, and Lavan, who's his mother's brother, and, you know, Yishmael, who's his father's brother, and all the different relationships. And off all of those people, like we said in the Mishnah, it's not only those nine people, but it's also all their sons and their sons-in-law. Okay, and that's why all these people have coming off of them sons and sons-in-law, and those are all problematic. Today we're going to discuss some more relationships, and we'll refer back to the chart as we go through. Okay, but we're in the middle of deriving all the different sources. If you remember, it started from the Pasuk Lodim Tu Avot Al Banim, etc. And we said that from there we learned that Banim can't die from the testimony of their father, and fathers can't die from the testimony of their sons. Okay, so Eshkechan Avot LeBanim UBanim LeAvot. So we can see from this Pasuk, we already explained, fathers to sons and sons to fathers. B'kol Shekein Avot LeHadadeh. Now by this they mean, and here also they're talking about not just Avot LeBanim, but, or also we can infer from here the children of brothers, meaning first cousins. V'kol Shekein Avot LeHadadeh. And all the more so, fathers to each other, which really means brothers. Okay, now the main concept here to get with the relatives is that the closest people are the first two brothers. From there, all the relatives come out of the brothers, right? There's brothers, then there's first cousins, then there's second cousins, right? We also have this when we discuss relationships, where second cousins are already more distant. So what we're basically saying here is the first generation of brothers is obviously the most close. Then we have the second generation, which are the first cousins. Okay, so those we understand. What they're saying here is Avot LeBanim UBanim LeAvot. We understand a person and his uncle, and an uncle and his nephew. V'kol Shekein Avot LeHadadeh, and obviously the brothers themselves. But Banim LeBanim Minal. But where do we get first cousins from? How do we know the first cousins are related enough? Because obviously the uncle is closer to the child than the cousins are to each other, because the relationship always stems from the top. So now they say, in Cain, if that was true, that the Banim LeBanim were allowed to, meaning, again, it sounds like brothers, but it means first cousins, Lichtov Kra lo yumtu avot al ben. It would have just said, avot shouldn't die from their son. My banim, the plural, is used in the pasuk of banim. Da'afilu banim lahadadeh. And that teaches you even cousins, first cousins. Ve'eshkechan, you might say, why are they referring to cousins as banim? But what they mean is, right, the banim of the fathers, and the fathers are the brothers. Eshkechan banim lahadadeh. So, okay, now we get first cousins. But banim la'alma minayin, how do we know that they can't go testify together, two cousins, about someone else? Right? We know not only are you pasul to testify for your cousin or your relative, but how do we know the two relatives can't testify together? So Amarami for somebody else, for some stranger. Amarami Barhama Svarahu, it's just obvious, it's logical. Kiditanya, what's the logic? It says Nebraita, Ein Haidim Nasim Zomimim Achia Zimushnehem. We have a concept that in order to become Edim Zomimim, in order to get the punishment for Edim Zomimim, let's say I lie in court with somebody else, okay, again, assuming I'm a man, because men's testimony is accepted, in general, not women's. But let's say there's a man who comes and testifies with someone else. Edim come and say, we were with you at the time, and it can't possibly be that you're testifying about this, and turn them into Edim Zomimim. So their punishment is they get the punishment that they tried to do to someone else. However, if they made only one of the Edim Zomimim, and they didn't prove that the other one was an Edim Zomimim, So what happens? Obviously, the testimony is inadmissible because it's now only testimony of one person. But the punishment of that they get what they tried to do to the other person doesn't happen because only one person, right? He himself would never have succeeded in getting the testimony, wouldn't have been successful as one aid. So therefore, the punishment only comes when both of them are become zomimim. So now, what's the connection? If you could allow two cousins to be ksherim, then one cousin could cause the death of the other cousin. Because if both of them, right, if only one of them became a zomim and the other one didn't, so then as soon as that one becomes a zomim, that causes both of them to get the punishment. So he basically can cause the other to get a punishment. So they say because of that, therefore, they don't allow two cousins to testify. It's a bit of a strange, convoluted proof. Anyway, Rava's going to reject it. Rava says, "Amar le Rava v'lita mech haditnan shlosha achim ve'acham etzterefi mahen." Okay, this is from Bava Batra, Nun Vav Amabet. We learned this. If you have, okay, three brothers, we talked about dinei chazaka. In order to create a chazaka that you own land, you could say, right, let's say you lost your shtar, you say, "I had a shtar, I bought this, but I don't have the shtar anymore. But I have proof that I've been living here for 3 years." So let's say, how can you have proof? So the Gemara raises, the Mishnah raises the possibility, what if three brothers came? Now, generally, three brothers can't testify together. But here they testify, but each one about a different year. And there was a chametz derefi mahen. So about the first year, we had the first brother with this random person. The second year, right, someone else came and testified, the second brother came and said, "I saw him living there the second year," and he testifies with the same random person. And the third brother testifies with the random person about the third year. So now, is this acceptable? So what do we say? Yes, it's acceptable. Hare elu shalosh eduyot. These are considered three separate testimonies, because even though all together they work to prove chazakah 3 years, but each year is judged independently when it comes to the testimony. So therefore, since each brother is not testifying with the other, it's acceptable. V'hein edut echad lahazama. However, when it comes to causing someone to be an ed zomim here, you'd have to get rid of all four of them. You'd have to prove that all four were edim zomimim. So what do you see here? Nimsa ed zomim mishalem amon be'edut achiv. Here you see that one brother can cause the other brother to have to pay. So Rami Brachama's logic doesn't work. So he says, "As ella hazama me alma kaate." The hazama, you can't say that if we testified together and you caused me to get the punishment of kasher zamam, it's not your fault that I became, right? And even though adjezu mushnehem, it's not like one is directly causing me. What is it? It's the hazama. It's the edim hamizimim that caused us to become edim zomimim. So therefore, hachanami, we would say the same thing here. Just like in that case, you'd say hazama me alma kaate and each of the brothers aren't causing it. Therefore, also here, hazama me alma kaate. So now, what does he say? So now the question is, how do we know the two brothers can't testify together? Ela in Cain, lichtov kra. Again, they're going to go back to that same pasuk. We're going to darshan many things from this pasuk. Uben al avot. Uinami hem al avot. So my ubanim, afilu banim la alma. Okay, it says, right, loyum tu, banim al avot. Right, loyum tu avot al banim, ubanim al avot. So why didn't it just say ben alavot or hem alavot? So what does it mean, banim? Even banim for each other. We did the exact same thing with the avot, right? Therefore, we do the same thing with the banim. Okay, and that teaches us, but not, right, with the avot, we said it with loyum tu avot al ben, right? We darshan it, from the word ben in the first part of the pasuk, we darshan that they can't testify against each other. From the word banim in the second part of the pasuk, we testify they can't testify together about somebody else. Eshkechan krove'av. Now this whole pasuk is all about paternal relatives from your father. Krove'a eminala. Where do we learn from the mother? Amarkra avot avot tre zimne. Avot appears in the pasuk twice. Well, right, loyim to ben avot al banim, below banim al avot. Amakra avot avot tre zimne. Ime no inyan lekrovea av, tine inyan lekrovea em. When you have some repetition and it's not needed to say alavot, it could have just said alehem or something, right? It would be obvious you meant alavot. So the fact that it says avot again means, well, it must be coming to teach us something. Since it can't be teaching us avot, we already learned avot, it must teach you also krovea em. Eshgachan lechova. Now this whole pasuk is a negative pasuk. It's about don't cause the death of your son, right? We can't have a father cause the death of his son through testimony or the son and the father. But what about lischut minalan? Where do we get that someone can't testify to benefit his relative? Now this is strange because you might say that's just logical, right? In other words, the whole reason we don't allow krovim is because we think they're no gavadav, right? They're going to help the person. So this sort of proves that it supports the fact that they're really learning this directly from the psukim as a drasha, and therefore they're going sticking very close to the psukim, and that really the issue of krovim could go in any direction. So now they want to learn, where do we learn lischut? Amarkra, yumtu trezimne. Again, this yumtu doesn't need to be said twice. So what do we learn? Okay, just like the father, we learn the mother, right? Also, yumtu, we learn not only the chovat, also the repetition is coming to teach something new, which must be also the schut. Eshkechan, last thing in this series, eshkechan bedine nefashot. This is only yumtu. Sounds like it's dine nefashot. Bedine mamonot minalan. How do we learn this also in monetary cases? Amarkra, mishpat achad yelachem. Mishpat hashaveh lachem. Right, we've learned this pasuk before, which is drashat to say, mishpat achad yelachem. They constantly use this pasuk to compare things that are done for dine nefashot and things that are done l'dine mamonot. Okay, now we're going to go back to cases of krovim. We had cases mentioned in the Mishnah. We mentioned there were a few different versions. There's the person who has only we're going to see that soon. Anyway, our version. We said that Rabbi Akiva, and the Mishnah had already said that Rabbi Akiva had it. This is Rabbi Akiva, what we have. There was a different version that included none of the maternal relatives. And now we're going to get into a few Rav, and then we're going to see other rabbis start talking about different relationships of particular cases. Obviously, it got a little complicated, I think, and they wanted to specify certain relationships to make it clear. And then we're going to compare this to our Mishnah. I'm a Rav. Achi Abba lo ya'idli. Okay, that's your uncle through your father, can't testify for me. Hu ubeno v'chotano. Him, his son, right, which is basically your cousin, your first cousin, and his son-in-law, okay, your first cousin's husband. Af ani lo a'id lo, ani ubini v'chotani. And it goes in the reverse, okay? This is going to be obvious about all these cases, really, that all these people that can't testify for each other also, if one can't testify for the other can't testify for him. So I can't testify for him, not only can I not testify for him, but now he's adding, also my son and my son-in-law. Okay, now this is a big jump that Rav is saying, because if you look in the Mishnah, in the chart that I have, there's three generations. There's the first generation of, let's say, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Okay, let's focus on them for right now. Then there's the next generation, which is Yaakov and Esav and all of them, and Yishmael's children. And then, right, because we're really focusing on Yaakov and Yishmael's children in this case. And then we get to Yaakov's children. Now, according to the Mishnah, Yaakov's children and sons-in-law and all that don't have a problem testifying for Yishmael. That's what we're going to call, right? If you look at this, the way the chart is, there's first generation, second generation, and third generation. Now, third generation is allowed to testify for first generation. Everyone we're discussing here is all as compared to Yaakov, who's second generation. So what Rav now adds is that also I can't testify for my uncle and also my son and also my son-in-law, meaning third generation is forbidden to first generation. So the Gemara is going to immediately question this. Va'amai, havet lishlishi b'rishon. Va'anan sheni b'sheni t'nan. Sheni b'rishon t'nan. All the cases in the Mishnah were either second generation to second generation or second generation to first generation. But shlishi b'rishon lo t'nan. But we don't have cases where we're going to have a problem with a shlishi berisha, okay? And even, you know, we can have, there's nothing that connects the first and third generation. They're already too removed, right? Think about it. Your uncles, try to think about your own family. Your uncles, your children to your uncle's children are already, sorry, how do I just say this? Right, your second generation. So your uncle to your children, okay, right, now we're talking only about first to third. Right, so your uncle to your children is already somewhat more removed. Okay, they're already more distant. And those aren't mentioned in the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, well, in fact, they are mentioned in the Mishnah. You didn't think they were, but they are. My chatano de katani b'matnitin. When the Mishnah says heim ubnehem v'chotnehem and all their sons-in-law, which we assume meant, right, let's say the uncle and his son-in-law, which is sheni b'sheni, you know, Yaakov to Yishmael's son-in-law. Okay, which on this chart would be, actually it ends up being Esav, who's related to him otherwise, but right, Esav married Basmat, who's Yishmael's daughter. So let's say it wasn't Esav, but Basmat's husband. So now we're going to say, my chatano de katani b'matnitin, chatan b'no. When it says chatano, it actually means not only chatano, but also the chatan of his son. Meaning, let's go, Yishmael's son is Nevayot. Nevayot's son and son-in-law. So what chatano really means is, right, heim ubnehem and their grandchildren, which means Rishon Shlishi b'Rishon is in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, if you wanted to say grandchildren, well, it would have been much more obvious to just say grandchildren, right? But litnei ben beno, to just say grandchildren, the son of his son. So what do they answer? Milta agav orche kamashman, just wants to teach you a matter in passing, which is debal ki ishto. In other words, they mean the chatnehem in the Mishnah is not according to the Peshat. It really means grandchildren and son, you know, grandchildren-in-law, okay? But it calls them chotnehem to teach you that the baal is ki'ishto, okay? The husband's like his wife. In other words, whoever marries your granddaughter is as if it's your granddaughter, or as if it's your grandson, so to speak. Ve'ela, now they say, wait a minute. But this also doesn't make any sense because there's another problem with this. Now, remember I mentioned that in the Mishnah, we had a certain version about 9 avot. Now, 9 categories of people who are problematic, plus the chorgo, the stepson, who's livado, who doesn't have the heim ubnehem achot nehem. But now, Rabbi Chiya has a different version. There's 8 avot in the Mishnah, meaning instead of the 9 that I showed you, there's really 8 only. He has a different version. One of them doesn't appear. But how many are, right? Then, heim, ubnehem, v'chot nehem. So heim is 8, b'nehem is another 8, chot nehem is another 8. How much is that, according to the Braita? Esrim v'arba. But if you say the chatan means ben b'no, then how many are you going to end up with? Hane talten v'tartin have. It should be 32. Really, this is a bit strange, because if you include all the grandsons, it'll be 32. But if you include the grandsons and the sons-in-law, you'll get up to 40. So the Gemara also could have said it's 40. Okay, either which way, it's certainly not 24. So therefore, they say heim ubnehem v'chonehem. Right, it's obvious that Rabbi Chiya has the same concept that it's either 8 or it's 9. Right, they differ about the 8 or 9, but they don't differ about whether it's grandsons or not grandsons. And otherwise, it would have stated as such. So therefore, we reject that saying the chonehem really means grandsons. Ela la'olam chotono mamash. It really means sons-in-law. But how still are we going to get to Shlishi B'Rishon from this? Amai kari lechatam b'no, kevan de ba'alma ka'ate, kidor acher dame. Now we say, but when it says chatnehem, it means that it's like a Shlishi B'Rishon, because he's already distanced by 2 generations, not really generations, but the son is Sheni B'Rishon, and the son-in-law is already going to be, The son, right, the son of Yishmael is going to be compared to Yaakov, Sheni B'Sheni. But the son-in-law is once more removed. We're going to call it like a Shlishi. And that's how Rav says, we could go down a generation and I could say that my children are forbidden to my uncle, Shlishi B'Rishon, just like the son-in-law is prohibited to Yaakov, the son-in-law of Yishmael is prohibited to Yaakov, because it's Ki'ilu is a generation removed. So then they say, wait a minute, though. Ihachi, it's still problematic, because have le shlishi b'sheni. What would you call that? You call that shlishi, right? Yishmael's third generation is his son-in-law, right? 1 removed from him is his son. 2 removed from him is his son-in-law. That's a shlishi. And he's pasul to Yaakov, who's a sheni. And Rav, we know from somewhere, there's a bit of a debate where exactly we know this, but the Gemara takes this as obvious. The Rav achshir shlishi b'sheni. Rav actually doesn't think the shlishi b'sheni is a problem. So how could you say that? So what are we going to answer now? Ela Rav da'amar ke Rabbi Elazar d'tanya. Rabbi Elazar omer k'shem she'achi aba lo ya'id li hu ubeno v'chotano kach ben achi aba lo ya'id li hu ubeno v'chotano. So now we're going to say that Rav doesn't hold like our Mishnah, and that's okay, because he holds like a different Tana. There's another Tana, besides Rabbi Chiyo, has a different approach in terms of numbers. There's a different approach of Rabbi Elazar, who thinks that Shlishi Berishon is Pasul. So he says, Rabbi Elazar says, just like Achi Abba Lo Ya'ili, this is exactly what Rav said, right? Just like my father's brother, my uncle, can't testify for me, Hu Benova Chotano, Kach Ben Achi Abba Lo Ya'ili, Hu Benova Chotano. Likewise, his son, Hu Benova Chotano, right? And therefore, we're going to get to three generations. And also, Ben Achi Abba Lo Ya'ili, the son of my uncle, can't testify for me, Hu Benova Chotano. Okay, so now the problem is the second part. The second part says that Vakate Havale Shlishi B'Sheni, V'Rav Asher Shlishi B'Sheni. The second part is the son of my father, of my uncle, can't testify for me, Hu Benova Chotano, which means that Shlishi B'Sheni. We said, right, the son of, right, here, Ben Achi Abba. Right? According to the Ben Achi Abba, what do you have? The son of my uncle can't testify for me, him and his son and his son-in-law. His son-in-law is a shlishi. And I am, right? The main person talking is a sheni. So while he agrees with Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Elazar goes two generations from Rishon b'shlishi, but Rabbi Elazar also says shlishi b'sheni. So how could Rav hold like a Rav Achshir shlishi b'sheni? So what do we answer? Rav Savar Lekavate Bechada, Upaligale Bechada. In other words, he agrees with him about Shlishi B'Rishon, but he doesn't agree with him about Shlishi B'Sheni. Okay, so now that's Rav. So now we're going to ask, well, my time at the Rav, what's his reason? Where does he get it from? That Shlishi B'Rishon is also a problem. We derived all the other things, but we didn't derive this. Tamarkra Lo Yum Tu Avot Abanim Ubanim. He puts the psik, the comma, in a different place in the pasuk. What does he say? Read the pasuk, lo yumtu avot al banim ubanim. Instead of saying lo yumtu avot al banim, stop. Ubanim lo yumtu al avot. So what do we say? Lirabot dor acher. If it says lo yumtu avot al banim ubanim, that means on the sons, the second generation, and their sons, the third generation. And that's how we get shlishi b'rishon. Rabbi Elazar, who also says shlishi b'sheni, where does he get it from? Al banim amar rachmana. It says loyim tu avot al banim ubanim. So what does he say? Psulei de avot shade abanim. Anyone who's puzzled to the first generation is going to also be puzzled to their sons. Okay, so that's shlishi b'sheni, right? We're going to go down a generation and we're going to say that they're, right? The concept of all this is that as you get farther away from the top generation, you're already less related, you're less connected, right? If you think about your cousin's children, you're already somewhat less connected to them than your father would be, right? Your father would be more connected to them because he, you know, is close to his brother and they're his brother's grandchildren. But as a cousin, you're already much more removed from your other cousins, your cousin's children. Okay, now we get to more relationships. I'm Rav Nachman. Achi chamoti lo ya'idli. The brother of my mother-in-law can't testify for me. Okay, so my wife's mother's brother. Okay, my wife's uncle, basically. Ben achi chamoti lo ya'idli. And also my wife's cousin through her mother's brother. And ben achot chamoti lo ya'idli. And the son of my wife's mother's sister. Okay, so again, all cousins through marriage. So now the Gemara says, it's very nice Rav Nachman said this, but you can actually derive this directly from the Mishnah. How so? V'tana tuna, bal achoto, ubal achot aviv, ubal achot imo, heim ubnehem v'chot nehem. Okay, so now you have to follow on the chart. It'll make a lot more sense. So if you start again with Yaakov, you have bal achoto. So bal achoto is number 23 on the chart. Okay, so his sister's husband. Now, go down, and you get to number, right? Heim ubnehem v'chot nehem. Okay, so you'll get to number 45, would be the chatan, let's say. Okay, so now, so bal achoto, now take this number 45. He's married to the daughter of the sister of Yaakov. So his relationship to Yaakov, right? If Yaakov can't testify, right, is not allowed to testify for him, that's what we said. So he also can't testify for Yaakov. So what's the relationship of, if you defined his relationship to Yaakov, what would you say? It's his wife's mother's brother. That's exactly the first case. Achi chamoti. Okay, that's the first one. Baal Achot Aviv. So now let's go to the case again. So that's Yaakov's Baal of Achot Aviv. So go up to his father. That's Yitzchak. The Achot and the Baal is number 8. And Heim Ubnehem Bechot Nehem. We get to the Chatan is number 29 on the chart. So this is Yitzchak's sister's son-in-law. So now let's define the relationship. The son-in-law, his relationship is his mother-in-law's brother's son, is Yaakov. So that's exactly the second case. Ben Achi Chamoti. Okay? And the last case is Baal Achot Imo, which is Rivka's brother's, right? It should be Baal Achot Imo, right? Rivka's sister's. Oh, sorry, I did the second case wrong. I did it through Yishmael. It should have been through Rivka. It should have been Lavan's. It should have been, let's go back again now, sorry. Baal Achot Aviv. No, actually, no, I did it right. That was Baal Achot Aviv. Now Baal Achot Imo is number 2 that I said was wrong in the chart. It should say Achot instead of Ach. Rivka's brother, number 2, her son-in-law. So now again, go in the reverse. Define that person's relationship, number 10, to Yaakov is his mother's sister's son, which is exactly what he said, right? Ben Achot Chamuti. Okay? Okay. So basically, they're just saying, it's very nice, Rav Nachman, you said this, it's actually found in the Mishnah. Okay? You can imagine that it's hard to, the same way we find it complicated to see who's all these relationships and who's, right? That's probably why Rav Nachman stated it specifically so that you had it clear, because otherwise it's very convoluted from just the cases in the Mishnah. Amar of Ashi, ki avinam be'ula ibaylam. When I was at Ula's house, he asked me, achi chamiv mahu, ben achi chamiv mahu, and ben achot chamiv mahu. Let's take these exact same relationships, but let's talk about not through the mother-in-law, but the father-in-law. What's the situation with the father-in-law? So again, Ula answered, and as Rav Ashi says, when I was in Ula, he was asked this question, and Ula answered, Amar lan tanitua, achiv, achi aviv, achi imo, heim ubnehem v'chot nehem. I'm not going to go through all the cases here again, but it's the exact same thing. That when you have the brother, the uncle, and the achi imo, and the brother of his mother, heim ubnehem v'chot nehem. So again, take the chatan and go in the reverse, and you'll get to the exact relationship that he was talking about. So meaning, they would be problematic also. Rav Ika lemizban gvile. Rav went to somewhere to buy parchment. And while he was there, right, this classic rabbi goes on the street and he gets stopped for questions. Baumine, they asked him, Maushi iradam be'eshet chorgo. Can someone testify for the wife of his stepson? Okay? So we said chorgo levado and not his son, his son-in-law. But what about the wife of the stepson? So besura amre bal ki ishto. And Bepumbedita Amre Isha Kebala. Okay, there's a bit of a debate about is there really a difference here? But one said, some people say that the question was actually asked differently in each case. And one was talking about the husband and one was talking about the wife. But basically, the concept is that husband and wife are considered the same. And therefore, if the choreg is a problem, the stepson, then obviously his wife is going to be also, you can't testify for her. Damarav Huna Marav, Minayin Shaisha Kebala. From where do we know this? Dichtiv. Ervat achi avicha lo tigale, el ishto lo tikrav, do datchahi. Okay, you can't sleep with your uncle's wife. Now, your uncle's wife is do datcha, right? She's not really do datcha. She's not your aunt. She's your aunt by marriage. Alo eshet do dohi, right? She's the wife of your uncle. She's not your aunt. Michlal di isha kebala. So from here you see that you're considered like a blood relative, you know, in the sense that she's considered your aunt, even though you're not blood related to her. Okay, ubalimo hu ubeno v'chotano. So now we get to we go to another case in the Mishnah, the husband of his mother. Okay, he and the son and the son-in-law. So now they say, wait, if he's the son of the mother, the assumption is the mother has a second husband. Okay, on the chart this is number 9. Okay, let's say Rivka and Yitzchak weren't married anymore and Rivka married somebody else. So now, if she has a son, it's her son, which means it's Yaakov's half-brother. So how could you say it's because it's, right, Baalimo, hu b'no v'chotano, b'no is the brother. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, lo nitzricha ela l'achi ha'ach. What it means is, let's say the stepson had a son from a different marriage. Okay, where then, it's the half-brother of your half-brother, right? In other words, not really even your half-brother. right? It's the brother of Rivka, let's say Rivka with this new husband, has a child, and his brother from the father. You know, it's already distance from you, right? So that's what it's telling you, that even if the stepson has a son, you can't testify for him. Rav Chista achsher ba'acheach. But Rav Chista says, no, that's not a problem. He's already removed from you so much that it's not a problem. Amrule, lo shmiale hada to Rabbi Yirmiah. You didn't hear what Rabbi Yirmiah said, that's a problem? Amrule hu, lo shmiale, klomar, lo sfirale. He said, no, I didn't hear that, or meaning, I don't hold that way. I disagree with him. Ihachi hainu achiv. But if that's the case, then we're going to say, one second, right, then that's actually, if you hold Rav Chista, who's ach shebachia ach, so then you're going to say that according to Rav Chista, the son of this second husband actually means half-brother. Well, that's already mentioned in brother. So why did you need to say that again? So tana achiv mina'im, v'ktane achiv mina'im. In other words, the idea is, it says achiv, and then it says Baal Imo and his son, and that's to teach you that both your brother from your mother's side and your brother from your father's side are going to be problematic. Why would you have thought otherwise? Because a lot of inheritance, if this connects with inheritance, so inheritance is always the brother of the father. Like with the Yibum also, it's the brother of the father. So you might have thought maybe not your brother from your mother. By the way, another better answer to this whole Mahalach is that the Mishnah gave all these avot, and then it said, heim ubnehem v'chotnehem. Now, it could be that in some of the cases, the banim that they mention are also, you know, one of the other characters. You understand? In other words, this could mean that it is his brother, and it's the same thing. It didn't say, by every person, heim ubnehem v'chotnehem, specify, right? It just said, for all these people, heim ubnehem v'chotnehem. So the fact that the ben is a repetitive character, the fact that it's his mother's son, and it's also his brother, it shouldn't bother us so much. I'm Rav Chista. Avi chatan va'avi kala. This is what we call machatanim. Right? The father of the bride and the father of the groom. Mi'idim zalzeh. They're not related, right? They're not, they can testify for each other. V'lodami lahadade ela ki achla ledana. It's like a lid on a barrel. Okay, there were some interesting interpretations of this lid on a barrel. Sometimes Rashi says that it's not a matching lid. It's like a temporary cover. And it doesn't even really match, okay? And that's like machatanim, right? They don't always go together. Sometimes they work well, not always. The Gaonim said that it actually means a mortar and pestle, which don't actually go together, right? They're two different things that connect. You know, they work together, but they're not necessarily at all related in any way, shape, or form. Okay. Amara Barchana. Meidim Adam, Meir Adam li'ishto arusa. You can testify for your wife when you're just after kiddushin, okay, you're engaged. Amaravina lo amaran elala fukemina avali yulela lo meheman. You can only, right before we said it's testimony in both directions, good or bad. Here we say when they're engaged, he can't say anything to benefit her financially. Why? Because all of her money is going to end up his, right? And so he's obviously no gabadavar. But now the Gemara says velohi lo shnala fuke veloshnala yule lo meheman. They actually say, in fact, he can't testify about her at all. Okay? So now, the Gemara is going to go back, though, to Rabba Barbar Chana, who said that you can testify for Ishto Arusa. Mai da'atech, they ask him. Kedam Rabbi Chia Barami, Mishmei De'ula, Ishto Arusa, lo onen velo metamela, v'chein hi, lo onenet velo metamelo. And when you're engaged, we're going to see a whole slew of laws. We've seen this a number of times. He doesn't become an onen for her, and he's not chayav. Some of them say, what does it mean, lo matamila? We're not talking about kahuna necessarily. Either we're talking about a kahuna, but we're going to see in a minute, she can't be matame to him, and there's no case of a bat kohen or something that can't become tamela mate. So the assumption is it means she's not chayav, okay? He's not chayav to be matame to her. He doesn't have to if he doesn't want to, if she dies. V'chein hi lo onen v'lo matamalo. Okay, she doesn't become an onen, and she's not obligated to become mitame to him. Some people say it actually it's in the time of the chagim, and therefore you're not obligated to because you have to be tahor for the chag, like for Pesach or something. There's a bunch of different interpretations of it. But meta eino yorsha, and if she dies, he doesn't inherit her. So that's his proof for why he's allowed to testify for her. And metu govak tubata. But if he dies, then she gets to collect payment of her ketubah, assuming that he gave her ketubah at the time that they were engaged. So now they say, is that your logic? Because if that's your logic, it doesn't really work well. Because hatam, in the case of tumah and all that, when it says about the she'eroa karov elav with the kohen, that's where all these laws are learned from. But who's matame to who? That's b'she'ero tala rachmana ba'akate lav she'erohi. That means, right, we translate it as kin, right, or there's a close relationship, they're already married. But ha-ha, but when it comes to testimony, mishu mikruve da'atahu, v'ha'ikar v'da'ate legaba. In other words, here, it's because we're worried somebody, right, we already had in the Mishnah the ohev and the sone, right, even if you love someone, or here there's already a love between them, and because of that, we'll be concerned that he's going to testify in her benefit, and therefore, they question his opinion. Okay, now we're going to get to this case of Chorgo Levado. So just to remind you, in the Mishnah, there were, like we said, nine cases, and then it said, Chorgo Levado, when it comes to a stepson, it's just the stepson, not his son and his grandson. Son and son-in-law. So now we're going to see that there's a bunch of different versions about this also. Tana Rabbanan, Chorgo Levado. Okay, that's like our bright, that, right? The bright just starts off with the opinion that matches our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer Giso. Remember, brother-in-law was in the Mishnah, but brother-in-law included in our Mishnah, Heim Ubenehem V'chotnehem. But here, he just says Giso. V'tanya Idach, and there's another braita that says, Giso Levado, just the geese, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chorgo. And Rabbi Yehuda says, the son-in-law. Now, it doesn't say, notice in each of these cases, someone's Levado, and the other one is just stated plainly. So now we want to figure out what's going on here. And in one case, we have an unnamed opinion next to Rabbi Yossi. And the next one, we have an unnamed opinion next to Rabbi Yehuda. So my kamar, what is this braita saying? Ile mahachi kamar, if you want to say, chorgo levado vuhu hadin legiso. That the first opinion says, right, Rabbi Yehuda saying, chorgo levado, and also the brother-in-law. Va'ata Rabbi Yosef the Meimar, Giso Levado, V'hu Adin L'Chorgo. The geese is Levad, and also the son-in-law, also the stepson. It's just a matter of the order, like which one we would think is more obvious, and then which one we add also. Ella, but that doesn't make any sense, because Manitin de Katani Giso, Hu B'no V'chotano, Mani, Lo Rabbi Yehuda V'lo Rabbi Yosef. Then our Mishnah doesn't connect with either of these opinions, and their assumption is that our Mishnah must work with one of them. So if you say that both of them are saying that both these cases are Levado, then neither of them works in with our Mishnah. Now, by the way, they would work in them with Rabbi Chia. Remember, Rabbi Chia had only eight. So we'd say, which one is Rabbi Chia missing, obviously? It's clear at this point. It's not Giso and not Chorgo. But let's see. We're going to get to Rabbi Chia anyway soon. V'alahachi kamar. If you want to say Chorgo Levado, aval Giso, hu ubeno v'chotano, Va'ata Rabbi Yosef lememar giso levado, aval chorgo hu ubeno v'chotano. So maybe you want to say our Mishnah, right? The assumption of this whole mahalach is going to be like this. We have our Mishnah with nine, and the chorgo is levado. We have Rabbi Chia with eight, and we're assuming, right, Rabbi Chia's version of the Braita, we're assuming that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda fit into either one of those, right? Each one has to fit in with one of them, because there's an assumption it's just them. So now, if we say that one says chorgo levado, but giso hu beno v'chotano, and then Rabbi Yossi says giso is levado, but chorgo hu beno v'chotano, so according to that, each one has nine avot, and it's just a matter of which is the one who's on the outs. Is it the chorgo or is it the giso? But that doesn't work because then, like I said, the assumption is v'alahadetani Rabbi Chia shmona avot she'mesrim v'arba keman lo k'Rabbi Yosi v'lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Chia's braita doesn't match either opinion because they have eight, and neither of these guys says eight. So therefore, they're going to assume that it must be alahachi kamar chorgo levado aval giso hu beno v'chotano. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, right? That it's just the chorgo and the giso would include hu beno v'chotano, which matches our Mishnah. Vata Rabbi Yossi lememar giso levado v'kol shekein chorgo, and Rabbi Yossi matches Rabbi Chia, which would be there's only eight because both the geese and the stepson are going to be excluded from this heim ubnehem v'chonehem, and therefore matnidim Rabbi Yehuda ubraita Rabbi Yossi, and that works out well. So now we're going to have a psak of Shmuel, and the question is going to be: is he talking about this or is he talking about something else? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. So it sounds like he's saying halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that it's chorgo, right? Not like our Mishnah, right? Generally, when we have a Mishnah Breita, we hold like our Mishnah. But here we're going to say it's like Rabbi Chia, okay? The Breita where it's eight. So chorgo and giso are levado. But now there's a case. Ahumatanta davi chatime ale tre gise. There were two gisim, two brothers-in-law, that were signed on the gift. Okay, so somebody was giving a gift to someone, and he had a contract that was signed by two brothers-in-law. Sava Rav Yosef lachshura. Rav Yosef wanted to say it was okay. Ta'am Rav Yehud Amar Shmuel halacha ke Rabbi Yosi. So now they're going to say, right, Rav Yosef thought this was okay, because they say, because they quote in the name of Shmuel, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. Okay, now, what Rabbi Yosi are they referring to here? They're not referring to the Rabbi Yosi we said a minute ago, because Rabbi Yosi there did say Giso was a problem, just the sons and the sons-in-law. But Rabbi Yosi, if you remember back to the Mishnah, said what? Only people who are ra'oi to inherit. Remember, he's the one who said, this was the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. But the Mishnah Rishona was just Dodo ben Dodo, and call over oily or show, which would exclude the brother-in-law who doesn't inherit from him. So, Amale Abaye, Mimaida Rabbi Yossi de Matnitin de Machshir Begiso. When Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, do you think he meant that it's the Mishnah, the one in the Mishnah, where it said that there were obviously two versions of what Rabbi Yossi said? So one said that Rabbi Yossi said, like our Mishnah, that's Machshir Begiso. Dilma Rabbi Yosi de Breita. Maybe when Rabbi Yehuda said that in Shmuel's name, the halachas like Rabbi Yosi, he meant Rabbi Yosi of the Breita, who's pasul b'giso, right? It's true, he says giso levado, but he is pasul b'giso. So now, Rabbi Yosef says, okay, in other words, what happened? Rabbi Yosef wanted to basically say, this is okay, this gift document, because gisim are okay, based on this psak, halachic Rabbi Yosi. But Abai says, how do you know that that's the Rabbi Yosi, that's the Rabbi Yosi they were talking about? Maybe it's the Rabbi Yosi of the Breita. So he says, no, I don't think so. Lo salka da'atach, Rav Yosef answers. Damar Shmuel, kigon ano pinchas. Dehavinan achi vigisi. Aval gisi da'alma shapir dami. When Shmuel said this halacha, he said, just like me and Pinchas. Now, he and Pinchas happen to be brothers and brothers-in-law. So what did Rav Yosef infer from here? That since he said, like, for example, me and my brother, and my brother-in-law, who haven't, right, there was two brothers married, two sisters, so they happen to be also brothers-in-law. But he gave that example to show that what? If he was just my brother-in-law, I would be allowed to testify for him. But then comes Abaye and he says, wait a minute. Dilma kegon anu Pinchas mishum digiso kamar. Maybe when he was referring to Pinchas, he was specifically talking about the element of him being his brother-in-law. And he was just giving an example of himself because he was trying to think, oh, here's my brother-in-law. Okay? And maybe really brother-in-laws are problematic. So now, Amar Lei. So Rav Yosef is still trying to figure out ways to make this document a valid document. So what does he say? Okay, fine. I agree with you that we can't learn from here about Rav Yossi. Maybe Rav Yossi really did say that, you know, maybe it's the Shmuel Shmuel Paskin, Halachaka Rav Yossi. He really did mean that brothers-in-law are problematic. So I have a different solution. What's my solution? Zilkanya be'ed Masira ka Rabbi Elazar. Back to the famous machloka we saw in Gitin and other places, that Ede Masira Karte. Okay, the document's not great, but who cares? We'll give it in front of, take the document. You want to give this gift to someone based on this document. Take the document, give it in front of two valid witnesses, and perfect. And forget about the fact that there's two brothers-in-law signed on it. But they say, wait a minute, can't do that either, Abaye says. He's really giving Rabbi Yosef a hard time. Hama Rabbi Abba, Moder Rabbi Elazar, B'mezuyach mitocho, shu pasul. Even though Rabbi Elazar says the Edim Asira Karte, he says that's only if the shtar itself isn't problematic. But if the shtar has a problem in it, like two brothers-in-law signed on it, he would never say that that's good. That's certainly not good. Even if you have kosher Edim Asira, there's a problem in the document. So Amarle, what does Rabbi Yosef go? He goes back to the person he's trying to give this gift with the shtar. He says, Zil, go do something else, because lo shav keleido utvin elach. They're not letting me give this to you. They're not letting me work this out. So, sorry, but I tried. I couldn't help you. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, moving on to the next section. Rabbi Yehuda says that if he was a karov v'nitrache, right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if he was, right, even if the daughter died, okay, there was a karov v'nitrache, if you were married and then, let's say, the person died and you were related to someone through marriage, but then the person died, so you're no longer related to them because they're not married anymore, so you can testify for them. But Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, but if you have grandchildren, like let's say it's a man to his son-in-law and the couple had children, the woman dies, so at that point they're still related because they're through the children. They have common grandchildren or, you know, children, grandchildren. So Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Tavla, Amar Rabbi Brona, Amar Rav, Halachaki Rabbi Yehuda. The rabbis disagreed with him in the Mishnah, but they say that you paskel like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Halachaki Rabbi Yehuda, V'chein Amar Rav Chan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Halachaki Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so there's machloket about whether we paskel like him. But this last statement, okay, we have Rava versus Rabbi Tanchum in the name of Rav, we have Rav in the name of Rav Nachman, and then we have Rav Rav Chana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Some people say that what Rav Rav Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan didn't relate to this, it related to something else, which in fact comes to the same conclusion. But Ika Dematne La Lahaja Rav Rav Chana, aha. They say that he wasn't talking about Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, he was talking about a different Braita. Et Zo Darash Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Ubata Ela Kohanim Halevi'im, right, there's a big problem with this whole pasuk. What's the problem? Who else are you going to go to? You're going to go to a shofet that was living in a different generation? So what is he darsha from this? You can go to a shofet who is a karov, who's no longer your karov. If he was originally married to your sister, let's say, and now he's not anymore, your sister died, you can then go to him. And then on that statement, Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halachak Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So it's the same concept, basically. B'nei Chamua de Mar'ukva, Krovim B'nitrach Kuhavu, the sons of the father-in-law of Mar'ukva, okay, which is his, right, they were his relatives while he was married, but they were Krovim B'nitrach Kuhavu, his wife died, and they were no longer related. Atu L'kame L'dina, okay, they came before him for judgment, which according to what we just saw should be okay. Amar lehu paslina lehu ledina. Okay, I can't judge you. So Amru leh, my datech ki Rabbi Yehuda. He said, they said, what are you saying? Because of Rabbi Yehuda, since we have children that are all, you know, because of our children, we're all related. So he says, ana maitina nigrata mimar rava danel chak Rabbi Yehuda. They say to him, here we have a letter that says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, right? It doesn't matter that we have children and, you know, what from your sister, from your wife, that you have children from your wife and we're still related. No, halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So here's a good line. We'll end the shiur today with this. Amar lehu, atu b'kaba dekira idabakna b'chu. What, you think I really think we're related? No, we're not related at all. I know we're not related. That's not why I don't want to judge you. The reason I don't want to judge you is I know you guys very well, and I know that you're not going to listen to anything I say, and therefore I'm not willing to judge your case. Okay, probably it sounds like it was an issue between the two brothers, his two brothers-in-law, and he knew. I was thinking about this, that it shows you something else about. I think the Gemara is trying to tell us something else about Krovim. That when you're very close to people, you know things from the inside that outsiders don't see. And I think what he's trying to say is, it's not because I'm related to you, but it's because I was related to you, I know you intimately in a way that other people may not know you. And I know that this problem that you're having between the two of you, you're never going to work out, and you're not going to listen to anything anybody tells you anyway. And therefore, I'm not willing to judge you. But not because you're Krovim, right? So it's a little tricky, because on the one hand, it's not because he really thinks they're Krovim, of his, but he knows them well enough because he was related to them to know that he's not willing to judge them, which also raises questions about, is a judge allowed to say, I'm not willing to judge you? You know, and that's another question to leave open.